You had to be thankful. I mean, think about it. When you die, you don't have to go to hell. Can I at least get an amen on that? Amen. How about pass the offering? No, you're not going to do that one, are you? Kidding on that. Yeah, you had to be thankful. You had to come to the place where you were just joy-filled and thankful that, hey, listen, I don't have to go to hell. And not only that, I get to walk with the Lord's presence in my life through the person of the Holy Spirit from this day forward. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell and live within me, and I am never, ever alone. When my dreams and hopes are crashed, I'm never alone. When things go bad, I'm never alone. When people reject me and walk out on me, I am never alone. Isn't that a wonderful reality? Through the person of the Holy Spirit who comes to live within you, you are never, ever alone. So you're thankful. Thankfulness is a foundational reality that has to be true in every believer's life. Now, we're going to spend just a few minutes today talking about being thankful. Go figure, Thanksgiving's on Thursday. Not real creative, all right? But so we're going to talk a little bit about being thankful and how it's foundational and what areas perhaps is foundational in your life. So first is thankfulness is foundational in your prayer life. If you have your Bibles or your devices, turn to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6 says this. Do not be anxious about anything. Boy, that's a good word right there. We could end it right there, right? How many people have anxious issues at times? Stress, nervousness. So Scripture begins by saying, be anxious for nothing. Okay, don't be stressed about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, look at this, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The very model verses in Philippians 4:6 is one of the model ways that we know how to pray as a believer, is rooted in the idea of thankfulness. So when you come before the Lord, the foundation of you coming before the Lord should be one of thankfulness. Can I offer you a suggestion about your prayer life that might help? Now, if your prayer life is everything you've always wanted it to be, then, you know, take a nap. We'll wake you up in a couple minutes, right? But if you think that maybe you would like to take a step in the area of your prayer life, check this out. Scripture tells us that we need to come before the Lord without anxiousness. Here's why. Because God is the sovereign creator of the universe. He created everything that is and everything that will be. And not only that, that's about his sovereignty. He reigns and rules over all things. Now, the second aspect of God is what we call providence. Providence is his management system. It's his management philosophy. Is he a micromanager or a hands-off manager? Right? It's providence is sort of his management philosophy and how he rules over his creation specifically. He is providentially connected to us. His hands are on the till. He is not on the back 40 taking a nap. Anybody happy about that one? So when you go before the Lord, amen, when you go before the Lord, you don't have to keep knocking and keep knocking. God, wake up, me. Sorry, I'm coming to you at 3 a.m, but we've had a little bit of a problem. Right? If you're praying at 3 a.m, there's a problem. Can I at least, we know that, right? Okay, so providence is how God then is connected to his creation. So what this says is, don't be anxious about anything because God is providentially connected to his creation. His hand isn't off the till. He's not looked away. He's not on the back 40 taking a nap. He is intimately connected in the now to you, to your situation, to what you're feeling, to what you're thinking, and to what you're going through. You are his children, and he loves you. My daughter's 21. She lives in Valdosta. And if she calls at 3 a.m, I'm answering the phone. And the first words out of my mouth, are you okay? Those of you who have kids understand that, right? I don't care what else happened. Are you okay? Because you're calling at 3, there's a problem. So, but God loves you. You're his child. If you're here today and you've crossed over and you know the Lord, and you call him at 3 a.m, you don't have to wake him up. He's providentially connected to his creation. That's how he administers and administrates the world in which he created. He is connected. So for that reason, the scripture says don't be anxious about anything. Because the God who created all is on the job. He's not taking a nap. He is standing watch. He's not off the job. Then it says, okay, so by everything with prayer and supplication. That's just saying specifically make your request known to God. With thanksgiving, we can be thankful because God is connected. So whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're going to face next week, if you hear nothing else, hear this. You can pray, and you can pray specifically, and you can pray fervently, and you can pray without being anxious, because God is connected. He is not the watchmaker God. He has not wound up the world, cast it into space, and he's on the back 40 taking a nap. He is not the watchmaker God. He is the connected, providential God of Scripture who loves you, who cares about you, who is in the now with you, whatever it is you're going through. He is that kind of God. Now, the second thing, the reason why faithfulness is foundational, because it really has to be the motivating reality of how we approach God. Look at Psalm 100, verse 4. The Bible says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter the presence of the Lord with a thankful heart, not with a whining heart. Y'all not getting that? Enter the presence of the Lord with a thankful heart, not with a whining heart. How many of you have kids, and with your kids, you respond a lot quicker to thankfulness than you do whining? I mean, it just matters, right? I mean, so you enter the presence of the Lord with a thankful heart. When you go before the Lord, be thankful. When you start your prayer life, let me, again, sort of close the loop on this, let me offer this as a suggestion to you. Begin by thanking the Lord. When you enter the presence of the Lord, you begin to pray, start by being thankful. God, thank you that I have access to you through the person of Jesus Christ. You do know, hey, this is cool. Have you ever thought about this? Maybe you have. Lost people outside the family of God, the only prayer God hears from them is their prayer of salvation. They do not have the rights of a son and a daughter to access to the Father. You're saying, well, wait a minute, Terry, that's prejudice. That's bigoted. Okay, let's think about it real practically. If you play football for Florida, do you get on your first day of showing up FSU's playbook? Some of you say, I don't need it. Don't say that. That's not being charitable. That is not being kind in church. All right? But the answer, of course, is no. Because everything in life, access is a privilege, not a right. Everything is access is a privilege, not a right. Access to the throne room of God is a privilege that only comes to people who know him, who love him, who have crossed over from death to life. You, as a child of God, get that access to the presence of God. So start by being thankful. God, I get to pray, and you're going to listen. Thanks. Because a lot of people don't get that don't know the Lord. Now, they can. It's a different story for a different day. But be thankful. Be thankful that God is big enough to take care of all the stuff that cause you fear. And he cares enough to take care of all the things that irritate you. Because God is that kind of God. He spans that type of a gulf in our life. So start by being thankful. God, thank you for letting me pray. Thank you for hearing my prayer. God, thank you that all the stuff I'm going to bring to you, it's probably going to sound like whining, and I'm sorry, but hey, here's the deal. I have some big stuff. I have some little stuff, and I'm bringing it all to you because you say in your word to bring it all to you. So I'm bringing it all to you, and I am not going to be stressed. I am not going to be anxious. I am going to be thankful because you're a God who can take care of it. Isn't that an amazing thing? So the Bible says, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and to his name. When you come to church next Sunday and you bring someone with you, wink, wink, right? Okay? When you come and you bring somebody with you, okay, here's how we walk in the doors. How about walking in the doors thankful? God, thank you that I can walk into a building that is going to be air conditioned or heated if needed. Thank you that I'm going to walk into a building that's comfortable. Thank you I'm going to sit around people who share my values and my vision of free worship, of access to you, of the freedoms that our country stands for. Thank you that I get to come and worship openly. God, as I walk out of this building, thank you that I can go down the street, go eat at a restaurant, and I can bow my head and pray without fear of reprisal or rejection or someone hurting me. Thank you that I can worship the way you've led me to worship. There's a lot to be thankful for when we come into the presence of the Lord. So, it's foundational how we approach God. It's foundational how we pray. Thankfulness is foundational in just getting through life. Listen, thankfulness is needed just to get through life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all situations. Now we got a problem. Because here's how it typically works. At least it works with me. Might not work this way with you. But here's how it works with me. As long as I'm getting what I want, I'm thankful. As long as God's saying yes, I'm saying cool. Anybody with me on that? I mean, really, at some level, we sort of like the yeses, don't we? I mean, and it's easy to be thankful in the yeses. I've got a significant other in my life. You know, I got a job promotion. My car started. You know, whatever it might be, boom, boom, boom. You know, my air conditioning's working. However small or big it might be, it's easy to be thankful when we're getting the yeses. Now, I'm not a country music fan. And just so you know, I lived in Tennessee for 8 years. That didn't do it. All right? And so, you know, I've lived here for 15, almost 16 years. It's not done it. So I apologize. I don't mean to be offensive to anyone, but that's just not my cup of tea. If I played the music that I like, all of you would leave. But anyway, there's a song, and I got it the first service. See if I can remember. I don't know the song, and I'm not singing. But there's a line in the song that says, "I thank God for unanswered prayers." Garth Brooks. See, y'all would know it. I knew that. Right? Okay. Garth Brooks. The only song I know by Garth Brooks is "I Got Friends in Low Places," and I'm not telling you why. I'm not telling you why I know that. There's a reason why I know that. But we're not talking about me today. So, anyway. But that song, that line anyway, I don't know the song, but the line specifically is sort of true. You see, when God says no, understand from what position he says no. God says no to us when we pray, and reason why we should be thankful is because God is what we call eternal. He's above modernity. He's above the now. He's above the timeline. He has never not been. It's not that he knows everything in the future. It's that the future through eternity is already present before him. So God is massive and huge, and there's nothing outside of his scope. So when he says no to you, he says no to you because it's the most loving, kind thing that a connected, loving Heavenly Father can do. And so when we get a no, we should be thankful. Aren't you glad he said no sometimes? I mean, really. I mean, look back just relationally. Look back in our lives. We all have relationships that we're really glad God said no to. Some of you are looking at me like, please don't bring this up. Not in church, right? Okay, I get it. But we're thankful. I'm thankful for certain jobs that God said no to. I'm thankful for certain churches. There was a time in my life, as many, many years ago, that I sent out resume to like 200 different churches. I got a no from all of them. All of them! I mean, I got one call back. And I'm like, wow, really? And what I didn't know is God was saying no to that to say yes to grace. I didn't know that then. And I'm so thankful today that he said no. To be sure. So in all situations, give thanks. Now, when serious things come, and I don't mean to be cavalier about this at all, but when serious things happen, when you get a phone call that someone you love has cancer, someone you love has a debilitating disease, that is a serious thing. And here's what I know because I've been there. There's a shock factor that happens. And it takes a little while for you to adjust. That's normal. Don't beat yourself up. You're not a horrible Christian. God doesn't hate you. Okay? Don't go down crazy road, right? Here's the deal. There's a shock factor involved. When my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I mean, and it took months, maybe a year or so, to be honest, before I could get to the thankful side. But it happened eventually. Now, I beat myself up a lot, and it wasn't pretty, and there was a lot of sinning involved between that point and being thankful. So let me just be clear with you. I didn't go through this thing unscathed and perfect. I just didn't. But eventually you come to the point as a believer, because thankfulness is built into the life of every believer at some level. It just is. It has to be. Because God saved you. You don't have to go to hell, and you get to walk with the presence of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be thankful at some level. And so it's there in some form, and it can grow in time. And so there came a point where I was able to get more thankful. When I would go see her, we eventually got to the point where it wasn't crying all the way back to Georgia because I may never see her again. That did go away. When I was with her, knowing it would be the last time I saw her at UAB Hospital for a week, when I left, I got in the car driving back to Georgia to pick up my family to come here, to come home. And I was so thankful that I got to spend a week with my mom, just me and my mom, She was in a double room. Nobody was in the other bed. My cousin was a doctor in that hospital, and so he just said, hey, take the bed. You know, just stay here. And so I stayed and just stayed with her around the clock for a week. I stand here today thankful. I am thankful for that opportunity. Now, I'd give anything in the world to have her back, but that's not an option. And when David lost his son, what did David say? David said, he can't come to be with him, but I can go to him. And so there comes a point where thankfulness has to rise up, even in horrible situations. So the scripture says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you do that? What is the basis of that? Psalm 107 verse 1 says this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. At the end of the day, God loves you. At the end of the day, if it's cancer, if it's an accident, if it's a broken dream, if it's a shattered vision that you had, if it, whatever it may be, if it's a change of life because of your health, hello, been there, right? If it's one of those things, understand at the end of the day, give thanks because God loves you. You never walk alone. You don't walk alone. When you walk up to that casket and that loved one's there, you're not alone. When you walk into that boss's office and you know you're about to get the axe, you're not alone. When your kids are estranged and won't talk to you because you've immediately become stupid for some reason, right? You're just at the dumb spot in their life. Guess what? You're not alone. You're not alone. You're never alone. God's love endures forever. You can give thanks when it's horrible because God's love is yours. And it's yours forever. It never goes away. God loves you. Be thankful. You're saying, Terry, but life is hard. I know, and again, I don't mean to make light of it. I get it. But God still loves you. You're not alone. The scripture says we can be thankful. And we should be thankful. It's a reality of the Christian experience. Because God's love endures forever. Then finally, it's foundational, thankfulness, in all that we do and engage in our life. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, whatever you do it all in the name of Jesus. That means do it based on his character, his principles, his ethics. You know, try to model Jesus in everything you say and do. That's what that means, right? And then it goes on and says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And all that you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus and give thanks. Give thanks for what you get to do. You get a profession that you love, give thanks. You have a marriage that's fulfilling, give thanks. You have kids that love you, give thanks. You have things that you've always dreamed of having, give thanks. You're able, because of your situation, to be generous to others, give thanks. You're able to go to the Lord tonight in prayer because you're concerned about a person you love is struggling, and you know you have access, give thanks. In everything that you do, in word or deed, do it in the same spirit that Jesus would, and do it giving thanks. And then the last thing I would share with you about a thankful heart, about thankfulness, it's really interesting. It has the power to change your perception of the past. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Christian, and he died in Nazi-occupied Germany just months before the end of the war. He was put in prison because he had this crazy thought that Jesus was more important than Hitler. Yeah. You know, he sort of read the Bible and sort of came down on the fact that, well, you know, Hitler, sorry, you're not Jesus, and we're not going down that road with you. And so he was imprisoned. He was a very popular writer, very popular pastor in Germany at the time. Actually visited America a few times before the war. And Bonhoeffer wrote a great book called Cost of Discipleship. If you're looking for a good book to read, I recommend that one. It's a brilliant book. Bonhoeffer said, toward the end of his life, he said, looking back on all of your past, if you can learn to be thankful for it, a transformation occurs. All the pains and painful memories can be turned into joyful realities in the present. God can transform your past memories that are painful into something joyful today. And he says thankfulness is the key to that. How does that work? Well, God, being providential, connected to his creation, being sovereign, ruler, and reigner over all that is, God can take you on a journey toward new perspectives. You can begin to see your past experiences from a different point of view. And in all situations, and again, let me push the pause button and say very clearly, I know some of you have pains that I don't have. I know some of you have experienced things that I've never experienced. And so please hear me. I am not being cavalier, and I don't mean to be casual with your hurt. I really don't. That's not my intention. But I tell you the truth, based on Scripture and people way smarter than me, if you will look back on your past and learn to be thankful for something in that situation, God will begin to heal it. God will begin to transform it. And it will become something joyful and powerful in your life today. It really can happen. Thankfulness. Thursday, we're going to gather around tables, and maybe we ought to have a preemptive confessions time right now. I think we ought to. I don't know. Because we're all going to eat a lot. We're going to have family around us that we love. We're going to have friends around us that we love. I want to encourage you to do something. Will you push the pause button for just a minute and spend some time giving thanks to the Lord for all he's done in your life? If you will allow people to speak, even the people in your group, your people, you'll be amazed at the things they'll be thankful for. Push the pause button. Spend some time being thankful and see what God begins to do in your life. You are loved forever by your Heavenly Father. And one of the realities is he wants to stir up this thankfulness in your life, regardless of what's going on. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Father, it's hard to be thankful when the walls are crashing in, when the storm winds are blowing, when life's gone down a road we don't like. It's hard to be thankful. Lord, I don't want to stand up here as a hypocrite. Lord, because you know that I struggle with it at times. My shock factor time gets prolonged because I jump into a pity party or I get mad and pout. Lord, I'm sorry. Father, these are your people. You love each and every one of them with an unbelievable love. So, Lord, I pray, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would awaken thankfulness in our life. Help us to be thankful in all things, even when it's hard, even when it's through tears, even when it's through heartbreak. Somehow, as only you can do, Holy Spirit, help us to be thankful. Lord, we love you, and we are so thankful for the time you give us each and every week to meet together, to praise you through song, through prayer, through your word, through generosity, through fellowship. Thank you for allowing us to be together. Thank you for redeeming us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Ushers, come on down wherever you may be. This is the part of our service where we practice generosity. So if you're a partner or regular attender, this is the time where we give. Don't forget, and I don't always mention this because I forget, you can give automatically. If you have your phone, you can go right here, take a picture of that. It'll take you to our website, and you can work that system. I'm not techno enough to even tell you how to do it, but anyways, I think it works, so you can do it. So there you go. That'll work great. This is the time where we give. We give for three reasons. We give because Jesus is Lord. We give because the gospel is the most important message in the world. And we give because the Bible says, not me, the Bible says, that where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. And so we want your heart to move toward the things of God. And this is an opportunity for that to happen. If you're a guest, the only thing we ask of you is this card. Please give us that if you will. If you haven't filled it out yet, you can fill it out now. And again, drop it in one of those boxes. As you leave, we have boxes at every door. We'll be glad to take this. Prayer request. Folks, let me thank you. Let me really thank you. Y'all have done a great job at giving us your prayer requests. It guides me in my prayer time. thank you, because then I'm just not throwing up to whom, you know, whatever's going on, God bless them type of business. So I always like to pray real specific, and by you putting this in the box, you let me and Ryan and others who pray for these all through the week, you give us real specific guidance. So thank you for giving us your prayer requests. Please continue to do so, okay? Let's pray. Well, Father, as we're generous now, Lord, we want to be like you. You're a giver. And so, God, we want to be givers. So help us to celebrate and be thankful that we have the opportunity to be generous today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. A couple of quick things for you. This Wednesday night, we have no activities going on here at the church because of Thanksgiving. So we give our workers a time off and a time for you to just be with your family. So no Wednesday night activities this week. Next Sunday, we start Advent, which is an exciting season for us where we begin to celebrate the coming of Christ and looking forward to the second coming of Christ. So we'd love for you and your families to join us with that. The Angel Tree program is going on. There's an announcement in the bulletin. The tree is in the back. Just make sure you grab a tag. And then there's a notepad next to it. Just make sure that you write your name next to the child that you picked up so that we kind of have a record of that. You must bring your gifts back here unwrapped by December the 15th. So, you know, we make sure that everything is good and we've got time to deliver it and all of that stuff, okay? There are no life groups tonight because of the Thanksgiving week. We decided to take some time off, and we will be back the second Sunday in December. That's December the 8th for our Christmas party. For all of life groups, that'll happen down in the gym. It'll be a great time of fellowshipping. This is like our third or fourth year doing it. It's really a good time to get together and fellowship and be here. Middle school, high school students, there's plenty of announcements in here for you guys. Please make sure you read this. We've got Christmas parties for middle schoolers on Friday night at the Mott's house. Miss Mott has said she's going to cook baked ziti for us. That's only for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. So no adults, you can't come, okay? She's going to do that. We're going to have a great time hanging out Friday night with our middle schoolers. Saturday night is our high schoolers. We're going down to the Cowart's Farm for a hayride and all that fun stuff. But all of those announcements are in here. Please make sure you read those.
Thank you. Yep. You noticed in your program today when you came in that you have this little slip. This is our budget. This is the time of year that we present our budget and approve our budget. The way it works here, again, we're a five-year-old church, and this isn't new. This is the way we've done it from day one. We give you guys sort of a budgetary outline. This is what we're shooting at. Just so you know, a budget's a target. It's not the law. Okay. Now, it is a law if you work for the government, but it's not as a church because we don't know what God's going to bless and where we need to shift money. So this is just a general outline of the budget of what we're going to be doing. If you are a partner, that means you're a member of our church, then we invite you to call and ask any and every question you may have. There is no question we won't answer. Now, full disclosure, if you're asking really detailed stuff, I am not the guy you want to talk to. All right? You want to talk to Miss Judy. All right, she is our financial person, and she knows those numbers way better than me. So you're going to call me, and I'm going to say, yep, great question. You need to call this number. So you could call the church office, and Debbie will get you hooked up with Judy, or Debbie may be able to answer the questions to be sure. Next week, after each service, we will go into business session. Now, some of you, I see it. Some of you are like, business. Okay, here's how it works here at Grace. I don't know about your church or where you come from, but here's how it works here. We go into business, we vote on this, and we exit. It takes about 3 minutes. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right. All right. So that's about what it takes. If you have any questions between now and then, because we will not be taking questions from the floor. We do not do that. You need to call the church office and talk to folks. We have a policy here. Our books are open. If you're a partner, you've already heard all this. So you've gone through the partnership class. Our books are open. We have an open book policy. People can ask any question they want. They can look at anything they want. We just try real hard when we're together to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the gospel. All right? Now, it takes business to keep doors open, so we have to do that. So what you will notice is there's a pretty big change in the area of payroll. Our payroll changed significantly, and one of our elders, Paul Thompson, is going to come and talk to you about that change right now. Paul?
How is everyone today? Okay, I am honored, privileged to be one of your elders here, one of the three. And we wanted to just tell you about something that's noticeable in the budget. As we all know, Terry had some health issues this year, and they were concerning. And I know they're concerning for him and for us because we love him. But at the same time, grace continues to grow. When I can just look out at this crowd, and it's just a wonderful thing. There's some of us here like Mike that really understand what that means. Well, the elders decided, And one of our tasks that we do is we support this man in what he does in his ministry. We decided it was time for him to be our pastor full time. Up until this happens, go ahead, please. He has up until that been bivocational, so it'll allow him to devote all of his attention to Grace and the ministries here, but it will also let him focus more on his health, and that's very important because we want him here doing what he does for many years to come. And so the budget being presented today accomplishes this, and 2019 has been a good year for the finances, but the 2020 budget is based on numbers from 2019, so it's historical numbers, so God has provided a way, and this is going to be just a wonderful thing for all of us because we love this man totally. So support him all you can. Thank you. This is long overdue, by the way. Thank you.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all. No, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please, please, please. When we started Grace, I was never wanted to be a burden to you, the people of God. Too oftentimes, churches get in situations where their staff, their personnel, their requirements financially become